Let's read together Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Now in this first half of Revelation chapter 19, we have four great hallelujahs in heaven and the marriage supper of the Lamb, which all precede the second coming of Christ. Revelation chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. After these things, I heard a voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Hallelujah! Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren, who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Let's begin our study of this first half of Revelation chapter 19 with some background notes. In verse 1, we read the phrase, after these things. After what things? After the things of Revelation chapters 17 and 18, namely the overthrow of Babylon the Great, that great false religious and anti-God commercial system of the last days. We saw in Revelation chapter 17 that religious Babylon is portrayed as a prostitute with the name written on her forehead. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Revelation 17, 5. Religious Babylon initially completely controls this evil end-time system because she is seen riding the revived Roman Empire beast at the beginning of the chapter. But at the end of the chapter, this false religious system, which includes apostate Christendom, is overthrown by the beast because the beast hates her domination and the beast eliminates religious Babylon. We said that this probably occurs at the middle of the future tribulation period because the head of the revived Roman Empire of 666 notoriety at this point deifies himself. As head of the beast, he demands worship of himself and an image of himself that is set up in the tribulation temple in Jerusalem. He himself becomes identified as the beast, and the false prophet directs worship unto this Roman beast. This is the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet in Daniel chapter 9 and referred to by our Lord in his Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter 24. In Revelation chapter 18, we saw the final fall of the commercial side of end-time Babylon. We saw that this will be completed under the seventh bowl judgment of Revelation chapter 16. And this, of course, brings us to the end of the tribulation period. So the phrase, after these things, mentioned here in Revelation chapter 19, verse 1, brings us chronologically to the end of the tribulation period and to the return of Christ. But right before the return of the Lord, which comes in the second half of this chapter, we have two events in the first half of this chapter which occur in heaven just prior to the second coming of Christ. And that brings us then to our doctrinal teaching points for this first half of Revelation chapter 19. So doctrinal point number one, the second coming of Christ will be preceded by loud hallelujahs in heaven. The second coming of Christ will be preceded by loud hallelujahs in heaven. The word hallelujah essentially means praise the Lord. It only occurs four times in the New Testament. Guess where? Right here, in verses 1, 3, 4, and 6. Verse 1, Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Verse 3. Again they said, Hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever. Verse 4. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Now, there's certainly lots of praise for the Lord in the New Testament. But here in Revelation chapter 19, we have the only place in the New Testament where the actual word hallelujah is used. Notice the different groups who are praising the Lord with the hallelujahs here in Revelation chapter 19. The first great multitude in verse 1 appears to be the martyrs of the tribulation period, because they specifically praise the Lord for avenging the blood of his servants that were killed by the evil system of Babylon, as we see in verse 2. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Remember back under the fifth seal of judgment, these martyrs were told to wait just a little while longer and their deaths would be avenged. I'm reading from Revelation chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. In verse 4 of Revelation chapter 19, we see that another group giving praise to the Lord consists of the 24 elders and four living creatures. Remember, we saw back in chapter 4 that we believe the 24 elders represent the redeemed saints in heaven, and the four living creatures are angelic beings. Notice that they praise the Lord because God sits on the throne. That is, God is sovereign and in complete control. Aren't you glad that God is sitting on his throne in heaven? In verse 6, all of heaven, with a mighty hallelujah, anticipates the return of the Lord to this earth to reign as King of kings and Lord of lords. Verse 6 once again. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. If you are a believer, you will be part of this great outburst of praise in heaven. The second coming of Christ will be preceded by loud hallelujahs in heaven. Doctrinal point number 2. The second coming of Christ will be preceded by the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. The second coming of Christ will be preceded by the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. Notice that the fourth hallelujah in verse 6 includes praise to the Lord because the marriage supper of the Lamb has come in verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Now, who is the bride who has made herself ready? We believe it is the church, which began at Pentecost and was raptured home to heaven before the tribulation began in chapter 4, as we've seen. The church is the body and bride of Christ. Read Ephesians chapter 5 in this connection. Notice from verse 9 that the church does not include all believers of all time, because besides angels, there are other believers who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This would include Old Testament saints, as well as the martyred saints of the tribulation period, who do not yet have their resurrected bodies at this point, as does the church. See Daniel chapter 12 in this connection. So the church consists of believers only, but not all believers of all times. Believers in the Old Testament were not part of the church. The church began at Pentecost. Remember, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, I will build my church. So the church did not begin until after our Lord's death and resurrection and ascension. The church began with the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And the church on earth leaves at the rapture. so that believers of the tribulation period are not part of the church. The church is in heaven during the tribulation period, as we've already seen. Now, what does it mean that the bride has made herself ready in verse 7? This certainly cannot refer to salvation, because the bride is already saved. We believe this refers to the judgment seat of Christ, which is only for believers, and occurs in heaven after the rapture and before the marriage supper of the Lamb. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, which is written to the church, says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." And Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12, which is also written to the church, says, "But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us shall give account of himself to God." Romans 14, verses 10 through 12. Verse 8 of Revelation chapter 19 says that it was granted to the bride to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Notice that the righteousness here is in the plural and refers to the righteous acts of believers. The good deeds of Christian service will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ in heaven and contribute to the beautiful garment, as it were, of the bride ready for the marriage. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 indicates that our righteous acts can be as gold, silver, and precious stones. If we are not faithful, our works are like wood, hay, and straw in a fire. They all go up in smoke. Believers, let's not wait until heaven to start making a beautiful wedding gown. It's too late then. Now is the time for righteous living and righteous acts. The second coming of Christ will be preceded by the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. Now, what about practical application for this first half of Revelation chapter 19? Let's understand the purpose of prophecy. Let's understand the purpose of prophecy. Verse 10, once again. "And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, 'See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.'" John was told by the angel not to worship him, because he also was a servant of the Lord. As Hebrews 1 verse 14 says, "Angels are ministering spirits to give service to those who are saved." Now notice what else the angel says. "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." That is, this is the purpose of prophecy, to show how Christ is the focal point of history. Let's understand the purpose of prophecy. The purpose of prophecy is not just so that we can know the future and be captivated by end-time sensational scenarios. No, it is to see how all of God's plans for a fallen world center in the glorification of Christ as the Savior of the world. Let's understand the purpose of prophecy.